Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
I'd like to welcome you to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. And if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles with the message, I'm going to begin the message today in the book of Romans, chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. And today's message is entitled, God's Election of Grace. God's Election of Grace. And I have to warn you beforehand that what I'm going to tell you today, what I'm going to preach from the Word of God, is not very popular today because of the false gospels that are so popular and prevalent in the world, of people thinking that salvation and all of its benefits and blessings are basically conditioned on them. Conditioned on their believing, their repenting, their persevering, their obedience. And that is a subtle form of works salvation. But salvation is of the Lord. And God alone is the source and the originator and the power of salvation. And one of the ways that the Lord reveals that truth is in the election of grace. When you think of the term election. Now, let me just preface the message this way, too, and I want to talk a little bit about this issue of what I call, or what is called, prerequisites. Now, I received an email from a fellow who's watching, who watches the program, I guess, off and on, and he accused me of not preaching repentance as a prerequisite of entering salvation, entering God's favor and approval of salvation. And to be honest with you, he's right. I do not preach repentance as a prerequisite. Now, you know what a prerequisite is. A prerequisite is something that is required of you beforehand in order to qualify you or for you to attain the promise, the blessing. So here's salvation that God freely and fully provides based upon the blood and the righteousness of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But if I made any prerequisite upon you, then I'd say, well, now in order for you to have this salvation, you're required beforehand to do this or to do that. And the fellow who wrote me the email, he was talking about repentance. Well, you've got to repent in order to, as a prerequisite, in order for you to enter salvation. But that's not right. Now, I, of course, we talk about faith, repentance, perseverance. All of those things are required. And this is where we have to be very, very astute in looking at the Scripture and understanding the gospel. You see, the gospel message is salvation, all of salvation, conditioned on Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God incarnate, the God-man, salvation conditioned not on you, not on me, but upon Him. And He came into the world and became incarnate and walked the earth as God in human flesh, and He obeyed the law perfectly unto death. And that was a condition that was laid upon Him. And in His death, He put away the sins of His people and brought forth everlasting righteousness, whereby God could be just to justify His people. That was a condition that Christ met. So Christ fulfilled all those conditions, see? And so that's the gospel of God's grace. And so Well, where does our faith and our repentance and our perseverance come in, our endurance? Well, those are required not as prerequisites, but as means and ways which God uses in His power to bring His people to unite with Christ and to enjoy the blessings and benefits of salvation. Faith is required, but not as a prerequisite. If it were a prerequisite, none of us would believe. The Bible teaches that we're totally depraved. We fell in Adam, ruined by the fall. We fell into sin and death. We're born dead spiritually. The Bible says the natural man. Now, what is the, in 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says the natural man, that's the person, that's us as we are naturally born. See, we're not spiritual people by nature. That's why Christ said you must be born again. There's another prerequisite. And I'm going to talk about that in a later message. In fact, I'm going to do several messages in line of these prerequisites. And that's why the first one I want to do, and it may take me two messages even for this first one, is God's election of grace. But we're not born as spiritual people. We're born spiritually dead. Ephesians 2:1, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. So when the Bible speaks of the natural man or the natural woman, it's talking about us as we are naturally born as fallen in Adam, spiritually dead. Therefore, we must be born again, spiritually, from above. So if faith or repentance or perseverance were prerequisites, pre-requirements for us to enter salvation, then none of us would enter salvation. Faith is the gift of God. Repentance is the gift of God. Perseverance is a gift from God that comes by the Holy Spirit in the new birth. Now, you understand that. And somebody says, "Well, then that doesn't mean I cannot do anything about it. I don't have to seek the Lord." No, it doesn't. And I'll talk to you about that in just a minute. But these things are revealed so that we can have no room to boast or glory in this salvation as far as our works, our decisions, our wills, or anything. It's all of God. My friend, if God saved me, I don't have any room to boast or glory in myself. I boast and glory in Christ. So what are the prerequisites to enter heaven's glory, to enter salvation? Well, we can talk about, number one, God's election of grace. And then later on, I'm going to talk about God's redemption of grace. And then thirdly, God's regenerating grace. We'll talk about all of those. We're going to see that. But here's the first prerequisite to salvation. Now, I understand now, faith, repentance, obedience, perseverance, they're all required, but not as prerequisites, not as conditions that you and I must meet in order to attain or maintain salvation. If they were, we would not attain it, and we certainly would not maintain it. We're sinners. Dead in our sins. It takes a work of God to bring us out of that state and to make us alive and give us faith to believe and give us repentance, grant us repentance unto life and to keep us, to keep us believing and enduring. So they are required, but they are required as the God-given means and ways by which we lay hold of that salvation that God has freely given us already. And the first prerequisite is God's election of grace. Now, here in Romans chapter 11, the Apostle Paul here has been talking about God's electing grace. Most people, they don't want to talk about election, or if they do, they want to tweak it in some way so as to soften the blow, so to speak, or make it more palatable to the natural man. Many preachers, it's not uncommon for preachers, if they're preaching through the book of Romans, to even skip over passages like Romans 8 or Romans 9 or Romans 10 and 11, claiming they don't really understand it. And I'm afraid that it's not lack of understanding that's their problem. It's just they don't like what it says. You know, sometimes people will avoid portions of Scripture by hiding under the cloak of, well, I just don't understand it. And I know when I was an unbeliever, one of my favorite authors was Mark Twain. And Mark Twain, a reporter, was interviewing him about religion one time. And the reporter asked him about the Bible, and he said, do you read the Bible? And Twain read it as a literary book, not as the Word of God. And he said, what about the parts you don't understand? And Twain said this, he said, it's not the parts that I don't understand that bother me, it's the parts that I do understand that bother me. And I remember when I was an unbeliever, I came to that conclusion too. I mean, I would look at passages like this and I saw what it says. It's clear what it states here. It's not that I don't understand what it says. I just didn't like what it said. And so I said, well, I just don't believe that part of the Bible. And I continued in that state until God saved me. But here, Paul is talking about the fact that many of the Israelites in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, the beginnings of the New Testament, had rejected the Messiah. They rejected Christ. They rejected the gospel. Over in Romans chapter 9, he said in verse 31, listen to this. He said, but Israel, this is Romans 9:31. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. They were trying to be righteous, but they didn't attain it. They didn't make it. Verse 32, wherefore, or why? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, and they stumbled, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now, Israel didn't make it. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about the unbelieving Israelites. Paul was an Israelite, and he attained righteousness. Now, how did he attain it? By looking to Christ, who is the Lord, our righteousness. But the unbelieving, the vast majority of the Israelites remained in unbelief. Now, my friend, that's the state of all of us by nature. In unbelief. And if God doesn't do a sovereign, powerful work of grace in our lives, we will stay in unbelief. And so Paul tells him that the majority of the Israelites remained in unbelief. But here's the thing. In the Old Testament, God has promised to save all of His elect. All the chosen people. Now, most people, when they think of election, they think of the national Israelites. And they were an elect nation for a while under the old covenant. But that's not the election of grace unto salvation. The election of grace unto salvation came before the foundation of the world. And as God told Abraham, all nations will be blessed through you. God has a people out of every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation whom He chose. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. So, if God promised, but you can go back to passages in Scripture, like in the book of Isaiah, and it says that all Israel shall be saved. But my friend, he's not talking about it. That's a prophecy. And he's not talking about the national, physical, ethnic Israelites. He's talking about spiritual Israel there. And so that's what Paul was talking about back over there in Romans chapter 9 in verse 30. He talks about Gentiles who attained righteousness. And that's believers. God, and back over in chapter 1, verse 16, you remember he said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and to the Greek or the Gentile also, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the justified shall live by faith. Doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. Who are the elect of God? Those who, to whom the gospel, in the power of the Holy Spirit, has been made the power of God unto salvation, evidenced by their believing. How do I know if the gospel has been made the power of God unto salvation to me? Well, do I believe it? Do I live by it? Do I rest in Christ for all righteousness? Am I submitted to Him? Romans 10:4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And that believing is a gift from God. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You understand? So, who are the elect of God? Every believing sinner. Everyone who has been given the gift of faith and repentance and perseverance. Well, over here in Romans 11, he goes back. He asks the question in verse 1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? In other words, if God promised to save all Israel, but the vast majority of the Israelites remained in unbelief and died in unbelief, did God cast them away? Did he cast away his people? And Paul writes, by inspiration of the Spirit in verse 1, God forbid, Paul says, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Look at verse 2. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Now that word foreknew, it doesn't mean something that God was cognizant of or just simply knew beforehand. You know, a lot of people, when they talk about the doctrine of election, they say, well, that means God looked down through a telescope of time and he foresaw who would believe in him, who would repent, and then he chose them. Well, first of all, that is not in the Bible. There is absolutely no verse in the Bible that teaches that. Secondly, that's a denial of God. God cannot change. God is not reactionary. God does not react to men. He's not some kind of cosmic chess player up there. He makes his move, we make our counter move, and then he figures out how to do this and how to do that. Now, there are portions of the Bible that speak in human terms that for our own limited understanding. For example, God repenting. But there are also verses that say God is not a man that he should repent. God doesn't repent in the sense of changing his mind like we do. In our repentance, that's a change of mind. And it takes an act of God to do it. But that's not election. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, well, here's how I've got election figured out. He said, God cast his vote for you. Satan cast his vote against you. And you cast the deciding vote. My friend, it's not a vote between three persons, God, Satan, and you. Oh, no. That is not in the Bible. And Satan is not on equal footing with God in this matter, and neither are you. The word foreknew there means foreordained. That's what it's talking about. God foreordained this. This is God's business. This is God's sovereign foreordination. And then he says in verse 2 of Romans 11, what? That means know. Know ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, that's Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel. Because in Elijah's day, the Israelites were against him, were against God, and Elijah made intercession against them, saying, verse 3, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, they dig down thine altars, and I'm left alone, and they seek my life. They're trying to kill Elijah, God's prophet, who was telling them the truth. Verse 4, he says, but what saith the answer of God unto him? And here's what God says. God says, I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. God reserved 7,000 men. Look at verse 5. Now, here's the key. Even so, then, at this present time, the time that Paul was writing the book of Romans, at this present time also, there is a remnant. You know what a remnant is? That's a small piece. Here's Israel. And over in Romans chapter 10, he talked about, though they be as the sand of the sea, all right, a remnant shall be saved. He said, God has reserved for himself Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Now, there's the first prerequisite to enter salvation. God's electing grace. In verse 6, and if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more works. It can't be a combination of works and grace. It can't be a combination of salvation conditioned on Christ and then conditioned on you. He says in verse 7, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for. What was Israel seeking for? Remember back in Romans 9? They sought righteousness by works of the law. But he says in verse 7, but the election hath obtained it. Those whom God elected, they've obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Now, what is the point of all this? What is God's election of grace? Let me just explain it to you this way. God chose a people before the foundation of the world and gave them to the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he put all the responsibility of their whole salvation upon his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity. And God conditioned all that salvation. He made Christ their surety. Over in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, it speaks of this, where Paul writes about the gospel of God who hath saved us. This is verse 9, 2 Timothy 1. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world, before the world began. You see that? God chose a people, gave them to Christ, put all of the requirements, pre-requirements of salvation upon the shoulders of Christ. Christ was made the surety of his people. All of their sins, which were future at the time. The world had not yet been created. Adam had not yet fallen, but it was going to happen because of God's ordination. You say, well, I don't understand that. I can't wrap my mind around that. Well, join the club. But that's what the Bible reveals. Somebody asked me one time, said, well, why do you preach this stuff? Because people don't like it. My friend, it's not my calling to preach to you what you like to hear. It's my calling to preach to you what you need to hear. The kinds of preachers that tell you what you want to hear naturally, that's false preachers. I've heard people say, well, I can't preach that or I'd lose my congregation. Well, why? If they're children of God, if they're believers, they know salvation's of the Lord and not of themselves. Why wouldn't they glory in God? Why wouldn't they stand amazed that God chose them? I do. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. That's what it means. If salvation is conditioned on you rising above the rest of the crowd who wouldn't believe, then you've got room to glory. And somebody says, well, it's only by faith, and faith is not a work. Well, go back to Romans 9. Now, God's election of grace is God choosing a people in Christ and based upon the meritorious work of Christ that he would accomplish in time in the redemption of his people, shedding his blood and bringing forth everlasting righteousness, which God has imputed to his people. And so in Romans chapter 9, it talks about how God chose the people. He mentions Jacob and Esau. Jacob have I loved, verse 13 of Romans 9. Esau have I hated. And somebody says, well, that's not talking about individuals, that's talking about nations. Well, I've got news for you, friend. Nations are made up of people. But listen to what he's saying here, verse 14. Now, he said he loved Jacob. He hated Esau. That's God's choice. He's the potter, we're the clay. And he didn't do anything unjust there. Jacob didn't deserve God's love, neither did Esau. Both deserve God's hatred, God's wrath against sin. But God chose to love Jacob. And he says in verse 14, you say, well, that's not fair. That's unjust. Well, Paul anticipated your objection. Verse 14, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Is there unfairness, unjustness with God? God forbid. Verse 15, God said to Moses, this is back in Exodus 33, he's quoting, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. You remember what the question was that Moses asked when God made that statement? He says, please show me your glory. Well, here it is, Moses. I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I'll have compassion, or I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. Verse 16, here's the point. So then, it's not of him that willeth, it's nor of him that runneth, that's the works of man, but of God that showeth mercy. Sovereign mercy in Christ. Sovereign grace based upon the righteousness of Christ. God's election of grace. You say, well, I don't like that. Well, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. They're spiritually discerned. That's all foolishness to the natural man. It's the light that men by nature hate. God alone. Here's the first prerequisite to enter salvation. God must choose. That's it. That's the first one. And if God didn't choose, if God didn't elect a people, none of us would be saved. That's what the Bible teaches. God chose his people. It's not just some kind of arbitrary choice like rolling the dice. We don't know what went through God's mind when he chose to love Jacob and hate Esau. It seemed good in his sight, Christ said. But he chose his people in Christ, having in mind the future redemption of his people by the blood of Christ. You see, God must be just when he saves. His electing grace must be just. His redeeming grace must be just. All of it. He must be a just God and a Savior. He didn't just randomly, without anything in mind, choose people. He chose them in Christ. And he put them in Christ. God's election of grace. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.